Good evening. The Fairbanks City Council is called to order. It's March 9th, 2026. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Therrien.
Here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I am here.
Mr. Ringstad.
Here.
Mr. Marty.
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell is absent this evening. Mayor O'Neill.
Here. With a quorum, Mr. Cleworth, will you please read the land acknowledgement?
We respectfully acknowledge the Dene people upon whose traditional lands we reside. We honor the Dene who have been the stewards of interior lands and waters for centuries, the elders who lived here before, the Dene people of today and future generations to come. We also recognize the Alaska Native people who traditionally gather here and harvest Native foods.
Thank you. Madam, if you're able, please rise for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
As we take this moment to reflect, before we begin, let us ponder our role and purpose. Let this be a space where all those in attendance feel welcome and where those who speak are heard and valued. May our discussions be productive, our decisions reasonable, and may we always serve the citizens of Fairbanks with the best of intentions. Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Marnie, will you start us in the
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So for the ceremonial events today, we do have a proclamation, and so I'll ask the representatives from the American Red Cross of Alaska to come on up. Having a bit of a microphone issue, so we'll make this work. But I wanted to read this, and thank you for being here this evening. Whereas the American Red Cross has served our nation and local communities for over 145 years with a mission to prevent and alleviate human suffering in the face of emergencies, whether it's delivering shelter, food, and comfort after disasters, assisting military members, veterans, and their families with 24/7 global support, or empowering individuals with skills like first aid and CPR that save lives. And whereas the American Red Cross of Alaska responds to emergencies across our vast state, providing critical support during wildfires, flooding, extreme cold weather events, and home fires, delivering health and safety training programs, including CPR, first aid, and water safety programs to residents throughout interior Alaska, supporting military families stationed at Eielson Air Force Base and Fort Wainwright with emergency communications and assistance, and mobilizing volunteers year-round to ensure Fairbanks residents have access to life-saving services when disaster strikes. And whereas those who serve with the American Red Cross of Alaska light the way during emergencies, providing powerful reminders that the strength of a community lies in our shared commitment to one another. And whereas American Red Cross Month is celebrated nationwide in March to honor those who make its humanitarian mission possible, acknowledging that acts of kindness change lives, bring relief, and provide comfort and hope when help cannot wait, recognizing that this compassionate spirit runs deep in each community. And whereas in 2025, more than 600 outstanding volunteers responded to a total of 190 disasters, big and small, throughout the state, and American Red Cross of Alaska volunteers provided support to more than 800 households in more than 30 communities. And whereas the dedicated volunteers and staff of the American Red Cross exemplify the spirit of compassion, generosity, and service that strengthens communities, lifting others up so no one faces an emergency alone. Now, therefore, I, Mindy O'Neill, Mayor of the City of Fairbanks, do hereby proclaim March 2026 as American Red Cross Month in Fairbanks, Alaska, and encourage all citizens of Fairbanks to reach out and support the organization's humanitarian mission. Thank you.
Thank you.
On item six is citizens' comments. And first we have Andy Warwick, second we have Mike Quinn. Good evening, Mr. Warwick. If you could state your name for the record and spell your last name and provide your area of residence, please.
My name is Andy Warwick, W-A-R-W-I-C-K. I live in the Taku Westgate area. I followed the city council for some time now, watching you look for another revenue stream. And you've been digging pretty deep, kind of at the bottom of the barrel. There's not much there. But I have one for you. And it is the perfect option for you to look at. It's called a sales tax. It's a perfect tax because two-thirds of it is going to be paid by somebody else. There's 90,000 people in the borough, 30,000 in Fairbanks, 60 outside of Fairbanks, 2 to 1. Plus, you have the tourists. There's other advantages to it. First the logic of the rest of the borough paying sales tax inside the city of Fairbanks. You get up in the morning, you watch the traffic come into town from all the arterials. People work here. They eat here. They have fun here. They own businesses here, but they don't pay a tax here. So there's a good logic for including them in helping us pay for the services of this town. Another positive way to look at, we used to have a sales tax. All you have to do is dust off that old document. It has exemptions. You can look at it, renew it. You have business licenses for all the businesses in this community. I think they even have sales on them, the gross sales, or at least they allude to what their sales volumes are. You could have this thing in operation by the end of your fiscal year. Are you June 30th? No? Oh, okay. Well, you could have it in operation by the end of June anyway. It's there. It seems to me it's a logical tax. It is fair. It taxes people that avail themselves of our services. They don't pay for those services now. They do, in some cases, indirectly, but they don't live here, so their houses aren't taxed here. We pay a property tax, and I think you can get a good estimate from your business licenses as to what it'll bring in. So I leave that with you, and you don't have to thank me. I want to end this by saying I really appreciate your service, and I mean it. I know what it means to be an elected official. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Warwick?
No questions.
I have a question for you. Would you be willing to sponsor a ballot initiative to put that on a ballot?
Sponsor it?
Sure. Put it to the people so, you know, it would be a people's ballot
initiative. Does it take an ordinance?
It does.
It does. Okay, I did not know that. Yes, I would.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
So when it was repealed, the voters didn't vote on that, I don't think. How did that happen?
I think our historian, Mr. Cleworth, would be able to answer that. Yes, Mr. Cleworth.
Okay.
Years ago, the charter was changed under the tax cap so that any general sales tax has to be voted on in a general election, not a special election, by the voters and ratified by them. The borough and the city have tried that 10 times, literally 10 times, and it's failed 10 times.
Yeah, your memory is a lot better than mine.
Sales tax, how did that disappear?
This
under
point
the tax,
of order
under
here?
The cap, tax cut.
How did
like
it disappear? The state was swimming in money, and they were sending millions and millions of dollars to the city of Fairbanks, so they repealed the sales tax, and they knocked down the property tax to half a mil.
Who did that, the state?
City did.
The city did. Okay, there we go. They decided to have enough money.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Ms. Therrien?
Thank you, Andy, for coming. Would you be interested in maybe just having a sales tax during the summertime for when tourists are here as opposed to year-round?
I'd have to think about it. I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, response to that, Ms. Therrien.
Mr. Marnie, that's out of order.
We're finding that the winter months are...
Mr. Marnie, that's out of order. You can't respond to to her at this time.
Andy,
but you
thank
can
you.
Make a comment during you. Your comments.
Okay.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thanks for the great idea. Next is Mr. Quinn. Mr. Quinn, if you could state your name for the record and spell your last name and provide your area of residence.
Hi, my name is Mike Quinn, Q-U-I-N-N. I live up above the Mushers Hall off of Summit Drive, so I'm not in the city. Anyway, I'm here to encourage you to get the RFP out for the Polaris building lot. I believe the council has worked on that and has one ready to go, and it's time to get it out and someday get some tax revenue out of that lot whenever that time comes. That's all I got to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions? No questions. All right. Would anyone else like to provide testimony this evening? Good evening. Please state your name for the record, spell your last name, and provide your area of residence.
Yes. My name is Julia Nelica. My last name is spelled H as in Henry, N as in Nancy, I-L-I-C-K-A. And I live at 260 Cleary Street, downtown. I am here before you today to ask that the community has more involvement in understanding how we can revitalize downtown with this great opportunity that we have in the Polaris lot ahead of us. I think that we have been talking about downtown revitalization since I was very, very young. I think that this is an opportunity that doesn't come along very often. And I think that if you are a developer, yes, you have been watching this. You do understand that there is this opportunity. But I'm not sure our community really has had the ability to communicate to us and to you as elected officials how we can see that space evolving into some more vitality for our community. I mean, we're watching businesses, especially our higher end businesses, shut down season after season. We know that we need to bring back more community involvement and interest in our downtown area. So I think that postponing or making sure that the RFP that we have more community input in it, at least 3 months, so we can get through these next few months so the community starts to wake up again, comes out into the summertime, starts really thinking about how they would like to see that space used. And if we have that opportunity, I think that what will come out of a boundaries of an RFP, if we have a chance for those information gathering sessions, that it will be a more wholesome and community driven approach to being able to develop that lot, which really is a humongous opportunity for our city and for our downtown. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nolika. Are there any questions? No questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Vanderberg.
Hi, good evening. David Vandenberg here tonight, Executive Director of the Downtown Association. And just wanted to bring you the, we've launched, it's spring break, it might not be the best time to launch such a thing, but we've launched a rental and restaurant incentive. The board approved a $25,000 one-time appropriation So we're joining, I suppose, with the city's storefront improvement program to have another incentive downtown. And this one is, you know, it's a significant amount of money for our organization. And we did a little, we tried it last year with a much more modest sum. And we did, I think I might have reported this as we were developing this, but we got four new tenants to sign leases in excess of 1 year. And so we reasoned that with another outlay, we might be able to get a whole bunch of more tenants. So we're going to try, and we're baiting the waters, and my board is ready to evaluate those proposals. So I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I'll read you the top line of our press release. But the Downtown Association of Fairbanks announces two financial incentives with a total value of $25,000 to enhance downtown's business mix, encourage tenancy, private investment, and existing local businesses. The incentives align with the city's storefront improvement program, the Downtown Fairbanks 2040 plan, and recent initiatives for commercial and housing development. So we're just trying to do our bit to align with what's already happening. And it's live, so if you know of anybody who is looking at downtown for a tenancy, or you know their lease is expiring and they'd like to look at someplace else, just find a place and then come find, you know, find a place they'd like to rent and then come find us, and we can help help the parties come to a lease agreement.
Councilwoman, and,
yeah, I'm finished. Thank you,
Dave. Can sure. you give us a distinction between the restaurant versus the actual office? How are you delineating those, please?
Good question. The restaurant, it's for a limited time. It's for 90 days because we're offering $10,000 for a new restaurant to be open year round. And so it's a way for us to, I guess, play close with some of that money. It's just to put it out for a limited time and see if somebody would come in and use it, you know, and leverage that money to borrow more, I assume, for whatever improvements they'd need to make. And then the rental incentive, it's intended to go the rest of the year, and it's $15,000, and that would be, and we've got some eligibility criteria. You know, there's more on the website and all that, but the idea is that it's smaller sums and higher numbers of tenancies that we're aiming for there.
Councilwoman Therrien.
David, thank you for coming. What are the boundaries of the area that you want to provide for this incentive?
Thank you. Yes, the boundaries of the area are the bounds of the downtown plan, which I think is defined in city code. Pretty sure, yeah.
Mr. Ringstead?
Just more statement, but I appreciate what you're doing, and tell your members that we thank you for their participation and partnership.
Thank you.
Mr. Clearworth.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Just a question. This is not grant money. This is just out of your so-called general fund for your organization. Is that right?
That is correct, and it's not gaming money. It's money that's that we've earned in the various ways that we do, and we need to do something with it. And this seemed like we did a little test balloon in the fourth quarter of last year, and it worked immediately. So we thought we'd try it again.
So we can thank the bingo players, huh? No.
Well, I mean, you know, you would well know that money is fungible and fun. But yes, we are. We had a margin at the end of the year, yeah. And we felt we needed to reinvest it.
Okay. Anyway, it's good news. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Marnie.
David, you and I had a conversation today, and you were talking. You've been monitoring, I think, the responses for the RFI on the cabin.
I have not been. We've been pushing it out that the RFIs are available.
Okay.
And
You look like you shared that there was a big response on activity towards that.
Oh, sure, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could you go over that for me, please?
Well, just that it was probably a little offhanded joke, but at the downtown implementation group meetings that we have at alternating weeks, and Mike Sanders is a regular there, and there's others from the city who are there as well, and others from the community. But one of the things is that if a city had a PIO, and so we have an email list, and so we're using our email list to send out, highly, time sensitive and highly pertinent things like the RFI on the Polaris, the RFI on the log cabin, and the storefront improvement project. But because we send that out, we can tell who clicks on the links and who reads them. And they were, I think your question, there were a lot of, they could have just been looky-loos, but there was a lot of interest in the RFI for the log cabin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's encouraging.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to provide testimony this evening? Okay, seeing none, we will move on with the agenda. And Madam Clerk, we are at the approval of agenda and consent agenda. The approval of the agenda, consent agenda items are indicated by asterisks. Consent agenda items are considered together unless a council member requests that the item be returned to the general agenda. Ordinances on the approved consent agenda are automatically advanced to the next regular meeting for second reading and public hearing. All other items approved on the consent agenda are passed as final. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? Ms. Sprinkle, seconded by Mr. Ringstad. Does any council member wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. Under new business, 14A and 14C.
Okay. Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Clerk, please read the items approved or advanced on the consent into the record.
The consent agenda approved resolution number 5205, a resolution honoring the Clay Street Cemetery Commission, sponsored by Councilmember Cleworth. It advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6344, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code section 74-302, exemptions from gasoline excise tax, sponsored by Mayor O'Neill. It also accepted the Clay Street Cemetery Commission meeting minutes of February 4th, 2026, and the memorandum from the Chief Financial Officer regarding permanent fund investment policy, special City Council work session. We're now returning to the general agenda special orders. Would you like me to continue? Thank
yes.
you. Special orders, the Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following alcohol license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. The first one there is license 5266, doing business as Fushimi, and license number 704, doing business as Costco Wholesale, number 1342.
Is there any citizen wishing to speak to these alcohol license renewal applications? Seeing none. Is there a motion to waive protest? Mr. Marney, seconded by Mr. Greenstead. Any discussion from the council? Any at all? All right, seeing no discussion, clerk, please read the roll on the motion to waive protest.
Mr. Cleworth. Mr. Marney.
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell. I'm sorry, Ms. Tidwell is not here. Mr. Ringstad.
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Yes.
Ms. Therian.
Yes.
The motion passes.
Item B of special orders, the Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following marijuana license applications for transfer of controlling interest. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. This is for the transfer of two licenses. One is the marijuana retail store, license 11927, and the standard marijuana cultivation facility, license number 10958. They're both doing business as Green Life Supply, LLC, and since this is a transfer of controlling interest only for Green Life Supply, LLC, we've put them on one motion. The location of the business is 511 30th Avenue, Unit B.
Is there any citizen wishing to speak to these marijuana license applications for transfer of ownership? Seeing none, is there a motion to waive protest on the marijuana license applications for transfer of ownership? Ms. Therian, is there a second? Mr. Ringstad. Discussion from the council. Mr. Ringstad.
Is this the same location that we've had concerns about getting their equipment up to speed? It's in the same one we've kind of been working with them for a couple of years. And now we're changing ownership. I thought we had that discussion once a year or so ago.
If the clerk could respond.
The owner of this establishment passed away, I think it was multiple years ago.
Yeah.
Since then, they've been trying to get this transfer completed. Okay. This is the first time I've seen a transfer come across.
Oh, okay.
We had renewals and other things, I think, that, yep, okay. Previously.
Ms. Pringle.
Okay. Again, this is, I don't understand. It says here now, good standing corporation. It says no. And then I see that Jameson Johnson does not have a provided address or a phone number. So it just seems to me if you're going to do this kind of business, you'd have these kind of pieces of paper worked through. All the details would be worked out. I'm just confused by this group.
It's the way we received the paperwork from the state. They did not require that, apparently, in order to approve the application and forward it to the local government. I did not additionally reach out and ask for that information. I did check to see if I missed it somewhere. I did not.
And in addition, this was the place that had, I think it was the venting that was a problem.
Yeah.
And we weren't sure if it was going to be fixed. Did we hear whether that had been repaired or done? Do we know anything? No sound?
I have no new news on that, Ms. Sprinkle.
Okay.
Ms. Therrien? With regard to the failure to file the biennial report, I've even done it in my life, and it's an extra $30. I would suggest that if we're going to approve this, to say that they have to get their biennial report filed by the end of March, just so that they're current, because right now they're not in good status. So,
I can make a motion to.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make a motion to amend that the new officers and the corporation make sure that their biennial report is due and filed by the end of March, and that information be provided to the city clerk.
Seconded by Mr. Ringstad. Discussion on the motion as amended. Motion to waive protest with conditions. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
And there was no objection to the amendment, is that correct? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm just behind a little. Okay. All right. On the amended motion to waive protest, Mr. Marnie?
No.
Mr. Ringstein? Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
No.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
The motion to waive protest with conditions passes the council.
I thought you asked to have four votes.
Only for an ordinance or a resolution adoption.
Oh.
We know that rule now, right?
Okay.
All right, item 10 is a report from Fairbanks Alaska Native Organizations. As this is the TCC annual convention, the Alaska Native organizations have a very full plate this week. They send their apologies, and at our next Alaska Native roundtable with the tri-government, we will bring a list and sign them up, so we will have a schedule to provide and work that out. So moving on to the mayor's comments and report, I did include a written report. My intention is to give that to you once a month. With things that are happening around City Hall, highlighting employees and initiatives coming from the mayor's office, as well as news and stories about City of Fairbanks. Here's a pop quiz. Who knows what ICYMI is?
What was the question? If you...
Oh.
What was the question? If you what?
What does the acronym ICYMI mean?
If you, where is it? Where are you looking?
Ding, 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 ding. It means, in case you missed it.
Oh, there it is. I see it. Okay, gotcha.
Well, that was fun.
Okay.
So Today I spent the day at the TCC annual convention. I was honored to give a welcome speech and listen to speakers from their tribal chiefs and from their health organizations. There was a resource fair for all the programs that TCC provides. Doyon gave a presentation, FNA gave a presentation, Dinakanaga gave a presentation. It was just a very, I kept saying I'm overwhelmed by kindness. It was just an incredibly nice event to showcase the work of 235,000 miles of TCC region and the work that's done throughout that region, as well as share resources between TCC and what we have happening at the city. There's a lot of opportunities for collaboration, and that was very neat to do. The conference or the convention lasts through Wednesday. Doyon gives their presentation on Friday. I would encourage you to check it out if you so have the time and option. Secondly, some news from the engineering department. I am saddened to report, but honored to say that Mr. Pristash has given us his notice of resignation, and so he will be retiring April 30th. And we certainly appreciate his 38 long years of service to the city and city engineering across the state. Mr. Pristash is recognized as one of the highest engineers, and certainly somebody that is used for expertise around the state. So a big loss for the city, but we wish you well in your retirement, and it's been a pleasure working with you. And those were my two announcements for the day. Are there any questions? Ms. Therrien.
During the Alaska Native Roundtable, is it possible that the city council members can start coming, or is that not appropriate?
At this time, it's just the leadership of the borough, the city, and the North Pole mayor, and then the leadership of those organizations. We have a strategic planning session that will move us towards sort of a more working relationship, and there may be opportunities at that time to involve elected bodies such as the councils and the assembly. Ms. Sprinkle.
Well, while talking with him, I just haven't heard anything about the borough coming to visit us. Any whispers about that?
I will look to the clerk. I believe that they have assigned dates.
We did receive a schedule, yet I have not heard anything about attendance since that time.
And that was last year, I think we heard that, right?
I do know, though, at one point, Mr. Roach was supposed to attend and had a conflict, so he wasn't able to make it. I would assume that that's probably the only one, since this is just the first week in March. But I'd be happy to follow up with that.
I'd love that. I'm disappointed they don't want to come.
Well, January's kind of meh.
We go.
We do.
Yeah.
We're setting the bar high. Ms. Therrien.
I think I'm the city rep Thursday. I'll bring it up and see who volunteers. Say that we don't know why they're not coming.
Yeah. I would say something like, we miss seeing you in our chambers, and we invite you. Yeah, okay. All right. And then the final announcement that I have is that we were able to post the RFI for the Polaris site on the website on Friday, so that has gone out. We'll move on to item 12, council member comments. Mr. Barney.
I would like to ask a question of you, Mayor, and it's not to be meaning to upset anybody, but when are we going to get something to cover the white walls in here?
Great question. Thank you for asking.
No problem.
We have been working with the Fairbanks Arts Association and working on being able to set up an art show so we can have First Friday here. We intend to do that quarterly. It turns out to just set up an art show, it actually takes a lot of logistics. And this month was their cornerstone event with Kids Art, Up With Art. So they were unable to get us on their schedule until May. But in May, we'll be able to do that. Likely, we are shooting for having it done a week or two before the first Friday. So I appreciate the question. I apologize for the delay, but at least we do have those quilts protected in the hallway. Mr. Ringstad, Ms. Sprinkle.
I just wanted to reach out, well, not reach out, I'm here. I'm going to say thank you for all the Public Works folks who've done a tremendous job of removing all of the many, many inches of snow, and I can't be more excited to say that I saw pavement when I came home one night. I'm so thrilled. And I know that's been a real effort. It's, I don't know how many inches we've got now. I think over 100?
92, I think, was the last.
I thought it was higher than that. But anyway, I would just say our Public Works people have worked amazingly well, and thank you to their director.
Ms. Therrien.
I just wanted to say that at the next council meeting, I'll be attending by Zoom.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cleaver.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, Bob, this is sad news. I hate to see you leave, but I understand it. We've had, I think, a great working relationship with engineering for many, many years. And I always relied on you from the technical committee to uphold the end of the city's interests against overwhelming odds. With how many people there now, 18 on that committee, 17, whatever it is. So I appreciate that. I'm sure we'll see you again here when they hand you some kind of a gold pan or something. So, yeah, back on the comments we had from Mr. Warwick. The city of Anchorage was going through this a couple months ago, and the people became very upset, and so the city mayor had to withdraw that sales tax ordinance. One of the main reasons I got involved in this city was back in the 80s when we were swimming in money, and the city actually had a little permanent fund from the state, oil monies, was that they wanted to reinstitute a sales tax, and a lot of us were not too happy about that. It is a real burden on the businesses. It's the most aggressive tax you can pick on people. It creates a lot of demand for more employees at the city because you have to audit it and stay on top of it. The bureaucracy, when the state looked at it, when we sent our own resolution in opposition to the state, mentioned how many people would have to be hired just to administer it. So I like Andy a lot. We just don't agree on this one at all. But regardless, it has to be done at a general election where people can vote it in or vote it down. I think I know which way it'll go because I've seen it happen 10 times before and it's never even been close. But, anyway, I'll save any other comments for later on. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cleworth. Item 13, unfinished business. Item A, resolution number 5201, as amended, a resolution inviting proposals from qualified developers interested in redeveloping city property at 123 Lacey Street, sponsored by council members Cleworth and Therrien, postponed from the regular meeting of February 23rd, 2026. It's my understanding that there is an intent to postpone this item to the March 23rd meeting until we have a full council. Is there a motion for that? Motion made by Ms. Sprinkle. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Therrien. Any discussion? Ms. Sprinkle.
I just want to get this done. We want to move it along, but I felt in hearing discussions about postponement, we did the same for Lonnie, because because I thought that was only fair. I liked that we did, and we did so. We postponed. And we're missing a sixth. I don't know how it goes. I don't know what the vote's going to be. I just think it would be lovely to have the same race.
Mr. Kluber.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Tidwell was here at the last meeting, and she voted against it. Councilmember Marnie was not, and he didn't have a chance to vote. So there's a little bit of a difference here. She expressed her feelings on it. So, and her not being here is an automatic no vote. So I don't see the reason to postpone.
On the motion to postpone to March 23rd, is there any further discussion? Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Mr. Ringstein? Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
I think it's only fair, yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Kluwer?
No.
Motion postpone to March 23rd passes 3-2. Moving on to new business, there were two. Ms. Therrien?
We had a problem with a 3-2 vote before, and I thought everything had to pass with four votes. So when it's 3-2, isn't the mayor supposed to be polled for a vote, or am I confused?
The rule in the code is for the adoption of an ordinance or resolution, it must have four affirmative votes, not for postponement, not for amendment, not for any other motion of the council, just for the adoption vote.
Okay. All right. Making it clear.
Thank you for that clarification. Thank you for that question, Ms. Theory. The first item on new business, resolution number 5206, a resolution providing 60 days to solicit additional community input for the redevelopment of 123 Lacey Street before the city issues a request for proposals, sponsored by Councilmember Therrien. Ms. Therrien.
I would move to adopt and then move to postpone to March 23rd if I get a second.
Do you mean to advance?
Oh, no, a resolution just can be.
Oh, yes, okay. So, I'm sorry, what was your motion?
My motion was to approve and then to postpone. I mean, when we have a resolution, I think we have to make a motion to approve first, and then I'm going to make a motion to postpone to the 23rd so that it can be reviewed at the same time that we do the other resolution.
Okay. On the motion to approve resolution number 5206, is there discussion? Mr. Martin.
Ms. Therrien, I don't see a close date on this. When will the RFP end?
I believe that the mayor provided that information to us, but could you tell us that answer?
Our recommendation for an RFP is at least 4 months on the street, and that's what we have been consulting with city staff and folks who actually do RFPs. So that's a very typical timeline for an RFP to be on the streets. So we're looking at an August-September date. Mr. Cleworth.
Question also for the sponsor. Who's going to be drafting this RFP?
For the staff will?
Not that the council won't do it this time.
Well, I think.
They're approving this.
I thought that the staff would, Mr. Sanders would prepare it and present it to us.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Mr. Ringstead.
If that's the scenario, we get something as prepared, it will be prepared and ready for us to have time to discuss it and think about it before it's released on May 1st, I guess. I'm just trying to see where that step fits into the calendar. It would have to be before the release, but it may take us a meeting or two before we approve this thing, right? So if you back this up, then this thing has to be done a month ahead of this May 1st date. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I just asked that our attorney prepare a resolution supporting the mayor's timeline for how she wanted to go ahead getting the community input and then presenting the RFP to the public. And I think we as a council can decide how long it's going to take them for responding to it. But I wanted to be able to give her that time for the community of interest in meetings.
I mean, my thought, as much as this is a big decision and a big step for the council, or the council has to make it, we might need some time to do it too. And this is not a one meeting thing, I don't think.
Yeah, council, I did provide a timeline when I would have reports during the process, and then a timeline for when the council would see the RFP before it is posted. And yep, that's that one. And also, just as a reminder, you know, whatever is decided with the RFP must get council approval before anything is finalized. And so you can assure that nothing will be finalized without your approval. Mr. Marnie.
Well, today I kind of got out of the house and had discussions with a couple of organizations in town. And kind of the consensus is, and what I've received email-wise, is people are tired of talking about the Polaris. They would like to see action. And it's almost like we had a dream, and it's kind of turning into a nightmare. So I won't vote for this. I'm sorry, Valerie, but I just think we need to, you know, in my mind, we're 3 months behind of what we should be, and that's where I'm going. Thank you.
Mr. Cleworth.
Yeah, I share those sentiments. We put a lot of effort into this. We started back in September or something, looked at two different RFP proposals, and then council member Sprinkle worked with local architect Chris Miller on an RFP. And I thought they did a great job. It was simple. It was inviting for people. It wasn't putting restrictions on it or mandates of any sort. And I talked to Mr. Miller this morning. I had to laugh because he says, would you guys suffer from is analysis paralysis? And I thought that was great. It's exactly what we do. We spent a lot of time doing that. I was digging out my old papers, newspapers, and it says at the November council work session, Mayor O'Neill requested feedback on the draft RFP, including a goal to have released early this year and potentially award the project. We've come a long way from that. We've not done any of that. And as the months kind of languished there, we could have gone out to, if the goal was more public input, we could have done that. Nothing happened until we finally thought, where is this RFP? And took a look and thought, well, it's not forthcoming, so we took it among ourselves to introduce it. I'm real frustrated that we've seemed to have wasted many work sessions on an RFP and have gotten absolutely nowhere. I read the request for information. I'm not sure anybody will respond to it. It is very, very different than the RFP that we proposed. It is a lot more definitive on all the things that whoever wrote this wanted. And I don't know how anyone could comply with all of them, but I'm assuming that the RFP, after this process, I'm not sure how you take all the comments from all the people, and I've heard them for over 10 years, what they want to see there or don't want to see there, and incorporate that into an RFP. I don't know how you do that. You can put a lot of restrictions in it, which would inhibit, I think, responses. But I'm concerned, even if the one that I was promoting here was passing, I'm concerned that we won't get any responses at all. I only know of one out there. I mean, all of us hear things. And I know of one that might respond, and that's about it at that point. If we get more restrictive on this, I don't even know if they would at that point. They're frustrated, the people that I talk to. Everybody's frustrated with waiting.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Well, since we've postponed, I will save my concerns and worries about that meeting. I just want you to know I've still been meeting with people. I have some questions, some comments, and we'll just see how that plays out. So I don't want to have the concern about what we're doing right now, because we're going to delay this, I think.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes, if we were to move to postpone this today, that would give 52 more days for the RFP to go out. If we waited to the 23rd, that's only 38 days. And so I don't think that's a lot of time, given that we have a new mayor and that the community has told me that they'd like to have more input. So, you know, I guess it all depends on who we're hearing from. But it's such an important decision. The council's going to make the final decision. And I would like to at least get this resolution postponed to the 23rd so we can figure out what we're doing. That's all. Thank you.
Mr. Ringstead.
So I'm kind of coming back to my prior question. We all know we're going to make the final decision here. Okay, so this resolution says the city's going to release an RFP on the May 1st. Well, it's kind of like we're telling the city to do something, but they can't do much anything until we're ready to approve it. And we're not even sure what the RFP is going to say. Would it make more sense to say, okay, the city's going to have an RFP ready for us for our approval by a certain date? I look at this and said, okay, you release an RFP that may or may not have any support from the council. I'm not sure that gets us where we want to get to. That just puts us off further down the line. I'm not sure this actually even gets us where we think it's supposed to.
You know, council, I'm also pretty frustrated at this. I'm pretty disappointed in this. I've come to you as a new mayor, looking at a process that's pretty important for our community. I've told you exactly what I'm going to do. I've furthered my own education to understand this issue. I've brought new ideas, and I'm coming to you saying, give me a chance to lead this process. And you guys, for some reason, don't even want to collaborate at all. And it really makes me question what's actually going on here. Is there something that I don't know about? Is there one developer that we're shaping an RFP for that I don't know about? If that's the case, then maybe we should just say it. But I think I've been pretty clear on what my intentions are, and they're not to offer anything that's completely different than what you already have. It's to build on it. I've said that for 3 months. I can give you the same presentation again that I did the other day in a work session. I'd be happy to do it. I have it right here. But if you're not listening to me, then I don't think that that's really worth anything. What I'm asking for is for you to give me a chance with this process. Help me collaborate with you on this. I have not been a part of this in this role. It's fair for me to say it's time to stop and take a moment for me to wrap my hands around it. That's fair. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not trying to fight you. I'm not trying to erase any work that you've done. All of these accusations of whatever I'm trying to do are really unfounded. I've been very honest with you. I've been very clear and transparent about my schedule. And I think it's only fair to ask you to give me a chance. Ms. Sprinkle.
Well, first of all, accusations is scary, but I would say that this helps me a lot. this is really what I was after when you finally presented this, to say, okay, here's what your thought processes were, because I was confused as to how you saw community playing in, who was going to dive in or out during the process. That I'm about process. So I'm not fighting. There's no red line here. I want you to know that. But I think that this helped me quite a bit. And again, I'm going to wait for the 23rd to have a real robust conversation. But I hope you don't think I'm fighting this, because I think we were in the little dark, a little dark about this. So this is great. I think this is very helpful for me.
Thank you. I appreciate that feedback. And I admit that because I am new and this was a new process, I wasn't as clear about the process for me. It wasn't clear to me what it was. All I knew was that this RFP didn't feel right to push on when I didn't have my hands wrapped around it. And I hope that as council members and as this community, you think that that's an okay thing for a mayor to do, that that's a responsible thing for a mayor to do. Mr. Cleworth? Okay. Any more comments, questions, discussion on this? This is on the motion to approve. We just have the motion to approve on the table, and then you can make a motion to postpone at this time.
Correct. To postpone resolution 5206 to March 23rd, excuse me.
Is there a second?
Point of order on that. Has to first be on the floor before it can be postponed.
It is on the floor.
Then we have to vote on that first, and then you can postpone to put
no,
it on.
No, we're amending the main motion.
Postpone a resolution.
We're amending the main motion. So the motion to amend was made by Ms. Therrien and seconded by Ms. Sprinkle. Any further discussion?
It was on
the motion to postpone.
Yeah. You said amend.
Thank you. All right, Madam Clerk, will you call the roll on the motion to postpone?
Mr. Cleworth?
No.
Mr. Marty?
No.
Mr. Ringstead? Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Three no's, two yays. The motion to postpone fails, and we're back to the main motion to approve. Further discussion? Mr. Cleworth.
Yeah, again, to Maker. I need to know more about what you're doing here. Who prepares the RFP?
I believe that.
Well, at this point, since there doesn't appear to be any support for postponing this and work on it, I just as soon withdraw the resolution.
At this point, the resolution cannot be withdrawn because it already belongs to the body having a motion made to adopt.
Okay.
So that has to be disposed.
All right.
On the motion to approve resolution number 5206, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Cleworth?
No.
Mr. Marty?
No.
Mr. Ringstead? Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
So is that where I vote?
No. The only time the mayor would vote would be in a case of a tie,
yes.
Or to be the fourth yes.
Okay, gotcha. On a vote of two yeses and three nays, the motion to adopt fails. The second item on the agenda that was pulled was ordinance number 6343, an ordinance authorizing the lease of a portion of City Hall to the Fairbanks Children's Museum, sponsored by Mayor O'Neill. Mr. Cleworth.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I ask that this be pulled. First off, Mike, thank you.
Can we get a motion to advance?
Motion to advance.
Thank you.
Motion made by Mr. Cleworth, seconded by Ms. Sprinkle.
Okay. First off, Mike, thank you for the work on this here. I like the financial note. There's just two things that are of concern to me. One is the term of the lease for 75 years. We talked about that briefly the other morning, and as Mr. Marnie said, that's a lifetime. Well, it's more than a lifetime. None of us are going to be here at the end of that lease. One problem I have is if the city is growing in the future, you know, 20 years from now or whatever, it was always envisioned by us when we moved in here that we have space to grow into the North Tower. The cafeteria could be redone, the old cafeteria, and on, and that we have room to expand. But if you've got a 75-year lease, they trump us, and we would actually have to go outside and look for space, not in our own building here. I think we need to have something in there that if the city gets that point, that we give them some years of warning, and then can take advantage of our need to do something. I mean, the only reason we ever leased it is we didn't need that space. We used to have more tenants than that. We used to have the Boys and Girls Court, I think they called it at the time, and Youth Court, yeah, and then another one up there. And as their leases expired, we did not extend them because we knew we needed it for records retention. So anyway, I'd like to hear what the other council members say on that, but I just think we need some kind of a clause in there that protects us because it is the building that we own, and if we ever had a need for it, we would be prohibited from doing that, really. The only other thing I have, Mike, is we talked about the gym floor, and they said that I think we need to put in there that best efforts to protect the floor so that if they do leave for some reason, that doesn't have to be rebuilt again. That was very costly to restore after it buckled under the water from the ceiling, our leaky ceiling one time. So. But that's the length. And so when we get to our work session, maybe next week we can discuss those things. So.
Mr. Ringstead?
I got a concern about the 70-year term, 75-year term, whatever it is. I mean, that's like my great-grandkids. And that's why I posed it the other day. If they're going to go in and put the capital investment that they're talking about doing, I mean, they need some time. Apparently their lenders told them they'd like 40 years. Well, 40 years is a lot different than 75. I think 75 is too long. Who knows what we're going to be doing in 75 years. I mean, you wouldn't have guessed where we are now 75 years ago. So I think that's too long. I don't have a problem with 40 if that's what the lenders require. It's probably more in the ballpark. I do agree with Jerry on his point about protecting that floor. There's a lot of money invested in those floors, and I think it's Mike was showing us the other day that we have a tenant that didn't leave our facility in very good shape in several areas, and he's over here with his folks trying to make it right again, and we're paying the nickel for it. So I think that in their overall plan, that's not a huge new addition to that discussion. But I think we need to have something to at least protect it because I don't know what gym floors go for anymore, but they're not cheap. So, I mean, those are kind of my two biggest concerns. But other than that, I think the concept is good. I like the idea of the what they've laid out, and I'm encouraged. My understanding is that although they won't be moving their main stuff in for a couple of years, that our daycare is going to go forward in a relatively near future, my understanding. Right, Mike? Yeah, and I'm at that. I'm happy with that.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Thanks for that. I would love, Mike, could you give us a little more info on that? Because I found that very intriguing, that the start of the childcare.
Yeah, so I definitely can, but we also have a Meredith here that can speak about it as well. To the 75-year thing, that is what we have for some other leases in the city, so this isn't a new thing. It's not something new. I mean, we've done that before. One of the other things that... I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but this is the most expensive building that you have by far because of its age. At a certain point, I don't think that future councils will have the same sentimental attachment to this building that the current council does. I think that at a certain point, the council, rather than wanting to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars in this building, they're going to want to just do something completely different. I think that would be the fiscally responsible thing, where if you have a tenant that is a revenue generator that can actually take on the whole thing, the entire thing at a certain point, I think that is your, I mean, we haven't talked about this or anything, but I'm looking 40 years into the future, and like, I don't see a council in 40 years wanting to keep City Hall here. I mean, just the restrooms downstairs that we're remodeling just came in with another, $100,000 on top of the $330,000 that we're spending on it. Do you think future councils are going to want to do that? I don't see it. So that's why we went with the long-term, you know, one of the many reasons that we went with the long-term lease is if you have a tenant in here, an anchor tenant that is able to generate money out of the entire space, then this building suddenly becomes more profitable to them than it is to us. But that would be way after all of us are gone. So that's why one of the reasons I put in there is to try to preserve this building with having a long-term tenant anchor that is capable of generating the funds that it requires to keep this building going. But with that, Meredith is up here. So if it's all right with you, Mayor.
Ms. Meikle. Was the question about the timeline for childcare?
I'm just excited to know that could happen soon and that you were talking to a licensor.
Yeah, we have the Fairbanks licensing agent is going to tour the space on Friday to let us know what licensing would require in terms of any modifications for the age range that we want to provide care for so that we can start putting those things into, assuming that we get an approved lease, that we can start adding those things into these initial grant proposals with Rasmussen Foundation, and we submitted one for the, I'm going to get the acronym wrong, but the rural health, the large amount of money that just came through early beginnings or right beginnings as part of that funding. So we've put in a proposal that would help us outfit and furnish the child care center. Hopefully they'll accept our LOI.
So you could have child care before even the museum got started here? Is that what I'm understanding?
Definitely. The idea is that as soon as we could get licensed, get the funding to furnish the two classrooms and get teachers hired, that so really the licensing is the big piece there. Is great. Whatever timeline that looks like, then we'd be able to get something up and going.
So you're maybe summer?
I think realistically it's probably the end of the year. I think licensing will take longer
end
than
of
that.
This year. Okay.
Yeah, end of this year.
But I find that really exciting. That timeline's not horrifying. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you.
Ms. Therrien.
Thank you for coming and answering a few questions. I would really hope that maybe you could get with Mr. Sanders and the mayor and talk about the time, the number of years, and what you realistically need. I've heard 40, maybe 50. I don't know if you could do that between now and the next meeting on March 23rd. I'd appreciate that. And Mr. Sanders, could you give us the names of the tenants that have the 75?
The one that I know for sure that springs to mind is Moore Street Apartments, 75 years.
Yeah. Okay, maybe you could look in and get the rest of them.
Yeah, I think that I think that we have a long-term one with the Morris Thompson Center too, and then the Senior Center. I don't think is quite as long, but we're talking about places that have been, you know, basically tenants forever. Just like the Boys and Girls Club was. I mean, it was here since 1995. So 30 years straight. So.
Mr. Murney.
Well, my only other concern besides the length of the lease is I'm really adamant about, you know, our interior softball associations, especially the young girls being able to use the gym at some point in the spring. I don't know if there's a clause for that in this lease agreement, but
I didn't realize that softball was using it.
Yeah. No, softball.
They must have rented it directly from the Boys and Girls Club. So.
Okay. No, they use it to.
But we're not Parks and Rec. We don't have Parks and Rec authority. Yeah.
Okay.
I think, Mayor, correct me if I'm wrong, that your plan lays out a completely different use and structures in that area, which would make it not usable for what youth sports are. Am I right about that?
Yeah, the timeline that that I put forward in the proposal would be that for at least the next 2 years, likely three, the existing uses would be able to be sustained, but that once we do a build out, it wouldn't, that they're not.
All right, we have lots more time to talk about this. So thank you for your questions. Thanks for being here to answer those questions. And on the motion to advance, is there any objection? Seeing none. Moving on to item 16, committee reports and council member comments. Mr. Cleworth.
I thought that discussion was interesting, Mayor. When we moved, the city didn't even know we owned this building. You're renting the old city hall over there where there's now a distillery. And when the school district got fed up with the place, they moved out and left it. And somebody said, oh, by the way, that belongs to the city. And we took it over. And we had a request from a local developer to make it nice, gut the building, and then he would rent it back to us. And so the council thought, we're going to rent our own building. So they decided, no, that wasn't the best idea. And finally we had a city engineer by the name of Rufus Bunch at the time who said, I think we can just move in and pay as we go. And that's what we did. We had the elevator in for ADA compliance, and the people got in here, and we all got paintbrushes, and we painted, and we fixed it up. And it had a lot more room than we ever had over in the old city hall. So it cost very little. And when I look at what did they just spend in the new animal facility over at the borough, $35 million? Not yet, but that's what they're heading to. I would hate to think what a new city hall would cost us and where it would be. But so, Mike, I think they're going to be here for a while. But you and I will be 90 and we can say...
I'd be curious how much of that $36 million we've already spent. Ms. Therrien.
With regard to committee reports, Mr. Ringstead, myself, Mr. Sanders, and the mayor met with Yuri Morgan last week, looked at all of the legislation that's going on, and discussed Mr. Ringstead's and my travel down there, that we might end up staying overnight Wednesday and not flying out till Thursday, and the mayor volunteered to take my place at the borough if we end up doing that. Yuri has presented all of us with a list of everything that's being voted on, and the mayor came up with a couple of thoughts of something to do in the future, and we can work on that. And I'm also really happy that we're all going to get together on a Saturday and kind of think about where we're going. What are we doing for the community? What is our future? What should be working on? The Polaris has just taken up so much of our time, but there's other issues, such as the warming shelter, the issue with the community service patrol and homelessness, and I just hope that we can all get together soon and just kind of guide us where we're going to go over the next year. And I'm really happy that the mayor is thinking of doing that. I can attend either one, so I hope that everybody's done that doodle poll so we can figure that out soon. And, you know, we haven't really done that in a long time, figure out where we're at. You know, we try to do that during the budget by funding certain things, but the budget is all about numbers, not about ideas. So I'm looking forward to that time. Thank you.
And just waiting on Mr. Cleworth and Mr. Marnie to respond to that. Mr. Cleworth?
I forgot to ask one thing, Mayor. At the last council meeting, I asked to get a copy for all the council members of the TIP. And if we could get that, I would appreciate it if you could supply that for us. The TIP comes from fast planning. That's all the projects that are budgeted, including the city projects.
And Mayor, I talked to Ms. Snyder today and gave her April 11th. Okay. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Mr. Cleworth, it's all up to you.
Doesn't matter.
I hate to give a Saturday.
Either Saturday.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's fruitful, our discussion.
I hope so, Mr. Marnie.
Okay.
I really do. Ms. Sprinkle.
Gosh. Okay. So I'm just going to say something quickly. Back in my hometown of Menor, Ohio, they took an old elementary school and turned it into the most lovely set of condos I've ever seen in my life. 100-year-old building was beautiful. I went to a fast planning MTP steering committee meeting. That was it's a long-term plan, 2050. What do we do with our streets? What happens when our city gets busier and busier? A lot of different points of view, which is neat because DOT and city. And what I found most interesting is that they did a vote, 180 people for a survey. The ugliest street in the city is Airport Way. And I don't disagree. So we may do something with that. Okay. Last but not least, I read something interesting in our paper today, I think it was today, about Fedco and Joe Mostert talking about his being in charge of the ARDR. We were going to talk about a committee, and I haven't yet, I don't think we did, but anyway, I just wanted to say that if anybody has not read that article, I'd like you to do so. And that's all I'm going to say. I don't have any other big committee meeting reports, so thank you.
And just as a reminder, if you're interested in serving on that ARDR, just submit your name to the clerk, and at our work session next Tuesday, we'll just have a discussion and vote on by consensus. Mr. Ringstead. Mr. Barney.
Well, I hate to see, I talked to Bob today and about the bad news. Good news for him. But you come to a point in your life where, you know, you don't have to get up and go to work anymore. And it's comfortable with him. But I did warn him that once you retire, things find you. And it caught me. But you're going to leave a hole in the city. But I understand what you're doing. I mean, you got many more years to live, I hope, and fulfill other things in your life, like motorcycles and things like that.
Okay, moving on to item 17, City Clerk's report.
I don't have a formal report, just to thank you. I had a great time on vacation, and my office was in good hands with my deputy clerk, and that's all I have.
Great. You did a great job. Item 18, City Attorney's report. Welcome to your first council meeting.
Well, thank you very much. I also don't have any formal report, but I would just like to say thank you all for having me here while Tom is away. And I'm just very pleased to be working with people who are so passionate about the issues facing our city.
Thank you. We don't have an executive session this evening, so without objection, at 7:50, we're adjourned.